And if you brought your Bibles, first of all, bonus points. Second of all, we're going to be looking at Psalms. In the book of Psalms, we'll be looking at number 87. Now, you might be wondering, why this text? Why not something from Luke or Matthew or something that we've heard many more times? That's one of the reasons. It's because you've heard it so many times. And also because we are doing a series that we are finishing today, the last day of Advent, entitled God With Us, the Songs of Zion. There are many psalms in the book of Psalms that talk about Zion, that city of God. And what we're doing today is celebrating that, even though we don't always talk about Zion. We're celebrating Advent right now, which is something that Old Testament Israel would have done too. They just did it differently. They were looking for the advent of the Messiah, the one who would come for the first time, the one Luke talks about and Matthew talks about. We look forward to that same Jesus, but we look forward to him coming again, coming differently, making all things new and ushering in Zion, the city of our God, the city where there is no sadness, no tears, no sickness, no terrible things to plague God's people. And the reason that we need to hear that is because you and I live in a world that is full of those things. You and I live in a world where many of us feel cautious about being happy. I can tell I'm not alone. Yeah. It's like, oh no, things have gone well for 3 weeks. What's about to happen? Right? Things are going a little too well at work. Things are going a little too well in our family. What's about to happen? And we do that because we live in a world that is broken by sin. We still live in the world caused by Genesis 3 that we started earlier. And so what God's people do is we gather and we don't give each other false hope. We don't say, they're there, it's going to be okay. We say, because of what's coming, that changes what's happening right now. Because Zion is coming, that changes what's happening right now. Now, any kids in the room, this is you can talk despite what your parents tell you. You can talk. Can anyone tell me one of their favorite places in the whole world? Is anyone ready to tell me what's one of your favorite places in the whole world? Your house. Perfect. That is, I can't believe your mother is not here to hear this. Why is your house one of your favorite places? Do you know? You just like it there? Yeah. Anyone else? Anyone brave enough? What's one of your favorite places? Minnesota. Why is Minnesota one of your favorite places? Is it because Uncle Nothing is there? Yeah. We have an uncle who always says, hey, guess what? What? Nothing. So that's Uncle Nothing, and he lives in Minnesota. All right, last one. No, go ahead. What? Why do you like that place? The water is so clear in the Bahamas. Yes, exactly. We have all sorts of reasons for having favorite places and why we like them, right? Did you know in the Bible, God also has a favorite place? And this is the place he calls Zion. And because of Jesus, it is possible for God's people, broken sinners as we are, to be there with him. So this afternoon, evening, we'll look at Psalm 87, and we're going to look at how God describes his favorite place, and we'll see that the glory of that place, what makes it cool, is not just the clear waters, or that we just like it, or that our favorite people are there. What makes it awesome is these three things. We see that it is where God plants it, it is how God populates it, and also what God provides it. So, the first thing to notice is in verse 1. In verse 1 of Psalm 87, we see, on the holy mount stands the city he founded. That's how the psalm starts. On the holy mount stands the city he founded. You know what else is on the holy mount? The temple. And what did we learn about the temple? The temple is where God is. The temple is the thing that God asked his people to build, the thing that Jesus himself becomes, and because of him, we also become the temple of the living God. That is a biblical theology of God's presence in 8 seconds. God builds a temple, sends Jesus the true temple, and makes us the temple through the Spirit. But if God is everywhere, what's so special about Zion? Why should I look forward to a place where God is when I already have God? Verse 2. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. You see, I wasn't lying when I said God had a favorite place. He loves the gates of Zion more than any other place. And so God's people look forward to the place that God loves the most. The place that verse 1 tells us he founded. The place verse 2 tells us he loves. And it says in verse 3 that Zion is glorious because it is the city of God. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. The city that God is preparing for his people and that his people look forward to is glorious because God has planted it where he is. Now, the next thing is, who else is in it? Who else gets to be in Zion? How does God populate Zion? So, let me ask, who do you think God would invite to come be in his favorite place? Who do you think? Missionaries? Sunday school teachers? Yeah. Pastors? Yeah. Verse 4 has a shocking answer. Among those who know me, I mention, first and foremost, before anyone else, Egypt. I know that says Rahab, but that's another name for Egypt. If you know anything about the Bible, you know that the Exodus happened because Israel was enslaved to Egypt. And they are the first people on the invite list. Among those who know me, says God, I mentioned the people who first enslaved my people. That should blow your mind. And if you keep reading, you see Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, Cush, all of whom were enemies of Israel. Now, there's another character besides Jesus that gets talked a lot about during this time of year. Anyone venture a guess? Who's the character that gets talked about a lot during this time? Santa Claus, that's right. And you know what? Santa Claus is coming to town. What's he doing? He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Well, all of these nations made the naughty list. I mean, just every single one. Every single one is point, check, enemy of God. And with Santa, if you make the naughty list, that's it. He wants nothing to do with you. You don't get any presents. But with Jesus, that's exactly who he loves to save. That's exactly who he loves to save. Those enemies, those rebels, those difficult people over there are not just welcomed. They're not just allowed into his favorite place. Look what verse 4 tells us. This one was born here, they say. You know what that means? They are so welcomed, it's like they've been there their whole lives. Have you ever been invited to someone's house and you've been there like maybe once or twice, but it feels like you live there? It feels like you just belong there. That's what Zion is like. You will be there for 1 minute and you will feel like this is where you were always meant to be. That is the glory of Zion. They will be so welcomed, so loved, so recognized, so appreciated, so loved. And I keep saying they, right? They, that's what the psalm says, they, them, those enemies over there, not us. Right? Until we remember what Jesus has told us through Paul. Until we remember passages like Romans chapter 5. So kids, adults, what were we before Christ? Romans 5 tells us, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were the enemies. We were Rahab. We were Babylon. We were the nation that was against God. And God sent Jesus. God populates his favorite place in the whole world, not with the most intelligent, successful, powerful people. No, no, no. With sinners. Sinners like you, sinners like me, who were once his enemies but have now been saved. And we do this by believing that Jesus takes away our sins, and instead of being his enemies, we are now part of his family. That's why we feel so welcome. When you're family, you're always welcome. Isn't that good news? Absolutely. And what that produces in us is exactly what we see in our last verse as we wind down. Verse 7. Singers and dancers alike say, all of my springs are in you. That makes sense, right? Well, if it did, I would feel useless up here. So I'm glad. I'm glad it doesn't make sense. Now, kids, if you were stuck, I need someone to answer this question. If you were stuck in a desert and you could only have one thing, what would you have? What would you ask a genie for? Yeah. 500 gallons of water. Your father must be so proud. You would need water. If you're stuck in a desert climate, you would need water. Guess who the psalmist is writing to? A desert people. A wilderness desert climate. What do they need most of all? Water. Without water, they don't live. Without water, the plants die. Without water, the animals die. They need water. And water, the best water, the drinking water, comes from springs. Springs. And so what the psalmist is saying is that all my springs, I don't just depend on God for money, but then I've got the rest. I don't depend on God to handle my character, but I'll take care of providing. No, no, all of my springs, they say. All of my resources, all of my dependence for every single thing, they're all in you. I depend on you for everything. For everything. From the smallest to the biggest thing, all of my springs are in you. All of my life is in you. And what we see from Jesus is the same thing. When Jesus was on earth, he had a conversation with a very sinful woman. Not like, oh yeah, we're all sinners. No, no, like a very sinful woman, an outcast of society. And it was from a nation that was an enemy of Israel. So you have really bad sinner, enemy of God. Jesus talked to this woman by himself. You might know her as the Samaritan woman from the well. And in John chapter 4, we see that Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water, he was pointing to that well, everyone who drinks of this water, what will happen to them? They will be thirsty again. They're going to drink. And 500 gallons of water sounds like a lot until it runs out. 500 gallons runs out, believe it or not. When you drink from this well, you're going to be thirsty again. And you can go back, but you're going to be thirsty again. And you can keep going back, but you're going to be thirsty again. But Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him, what will happen to that person? They will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him, anyone remember? A spring of water welling up to eternal life. Kids, if you try to find joy in sports or good grades or the toys that you're about to get, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have a lot of fun for a little while, and then you're going to be thirsty again. I want a new toy. I want a better toy. I want more toys. Adults, you're not immune. If we try to find our joy, if we try to quench our thirst with more money, you're just going to want more. If you try to quench your thirst with family, you're just going to want more. Getting physically fit, eating the right food, being with the right people, reading the right books, getting enough knowledge, accumulating power. All of those things will make you thirsty again. But the glory of Zion is that if you trust in Jesus for all of your deepest longings, your true longings, the longings that give you eternal life, those are the ones that he says you will never thirst again. And that is the glory, that is the joy of God's favorite place called Zion. There we will see his glory and we will live only in joy, exclusively in joy. And so until we get there, God's people can rejoice in the good news that Zion is not only a future promise, but a present reality. It's something that we have right now. Right now, God is with us. He will be with us more in Zion, but he's with us right now. Right now, he calls us into his family, even though we were sinners. Right now, we find our fullest joy in him. If you believe that that is true, you're allowed to say amen.
Amen.
Please pray with me. Lord, thank you for what we get to look forward to. We get to look forward to Zion, and it's so awesome. Zion is so great precisely because we get a foretaste of it. Being with you in Zion will be so great because being with you right now is so great. We know what it's like to be with you, and it is so glorious. And so I pray that you would help us to look forward even more to that which is coming, to that city that has no flaws, no sin, no imperfections. Thank you that Jesus is coming. He has come already, but he is coming with truth and grace. He is coming so that sins and sorrows will no more grow, nor thorns will infest the ground. He is coming to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. We rejoice in that. We hope in that. We live in light of that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.